Blog Talk Radio.
First time doing this. I'm doing this solo because my normal co-host, the wonderful M. Emmeline Musso, is out of town. So I thought I would create this show purely just to give a few thoughts, maybe my little journey through atheism and whatnot. And you can hear me ramble on a little bit if you want to. I plan to kind of keep this a little, you know, a little upbeat, but it may get a little serious here and there and whatnot, man. But never fret, you know, Mario, Ultra Evil. I don't even know if I'm going to keep using that name, but hey, you know, I got to go by something. Yeah, Facebook won't let me change my name again, so I'll deal with that later on. But either way it goes, you're going to get a chance to hear me give my considered opinion about atheism, especially my role in it, I guess, and what it's been like for me coming up into this, you know. Hopefully my voice will suffice in place of the wonderful voice of my co-host. So to get started, and once again, I'm going to tell you that the intro music is from Spartacus, and I love that show, so I just use it just to goof off and see what will happen. So if you want to skip that part, you can, but you should. All right. So I guess I'll start off with a few years ago. I'm going to go back to my early 20s. You know, I'm living in Conyers, Georgia, and I grew up in a religious family. My grandmother started off Baptist, but soon became Jehovah's Witness. And so she tried to get us into it and whatnot. And as a young kid, you don't really know. I mean, you're thinking about doing what they tell you and whatnot. And so, you know, I'm going through the motions of dealing with that. And I guess it's before my 20s, but, you know, like, yeah, hey. But, you know, I'm going through the motions with that. You know, I'm doing what I'm told I'm supposed to do. I'm reading the books, reading the Bible. I remember the book called My Book of Bible Stories and had illustrations in it. And she used to read this every night. And we liked to hear it. You know, it was nice to hear a bedtime story. But at the same time, I remember when we got to certain issues like the flood and the illustration, and this is a children's book, would show people kind of suffering as they're drowning in a major ocean while there's a boat right in the background. From what I'm understanding, there are only like maybe 8 people on the boat or whatever. It actually looked like a floating brick or whatever. I don't know. So I remember that. I think that was the first time I started thinking, maybe there's something not right here, man. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I was guilted, you know, a lot of times, you know, guilted into trying to do this and trying to go to the Kingdom Hall as Jehovah's Witness and whatnot, not necessarily by my grandma, but by my own feeling that this is something, this is what I should be doing. This is what I should be at. This is the only way to be a good person, to grow into a good adult is to go to these services and learn from these adults and learn your position in life and what God's position is for you and what his plan is for you and follow that to a T. The more I got away from home life, I guess, the more I got into my later teens and in my early 20s, the more I pulled away from that. You see, I grew up, I was kind of a social misfit, you know, in middle school, high school, you know, growing up poor, you know, not being able to afford clothes and stuff like that, I really had incredibly low self-esteem. So there was really no group for me to identify with. So I didn't have any really big influences. So as I'm getting older, the more I began to learn that I don't need those influences, I don't need those groups and whatnot, and I kept mostly to myself. I didn't really club. I didn't really hang out or anything. So not being so much of a follower, I guess, being more of a loner, I began to pull away from the ideas of religion because there was so much of it that I did not like. For one thing, church was boring as shit. I could not imagine sitting in a place for at minimum 2 hours listening to somebody tell you something that you could read in the book if you chose to, but because he wants to hype it up and be overly theatrical about it, you know, people think that, hey, he's saying something incredible, he's saying something great and everything. Only thing he's doing is giving his interpretation of what somebody told him to be and whatnot. And then on top of that, I just couldn't stand gospel music. Man, God, man, I mean, does a song really need to last 40 damn? Well, anyway, so I never really had much of a social setting. I never really had many friends to keep me influenced by church or the Kingdom Hall or whatnot. So it began to be more like this is something that just ain't for me. And I remember going to a few different places. I went to non-denominational areas. I even ended up at this one joint where apparently these dudes were, I guess they were Nawabian or whatever, because for one thing, they gave a vague introduction of what they are and then didn't want to tell me what they were because I had to come back to find out, which made me feel like either you don't know or you really don't want to tell me. Whatever the hell y'all got going over here, is it really that secretive? You're not fucking James Bond. So I kept pulling away after trying to find something. And finally, I began to realize, you know, after trying, I mean, I remember when I got a speeding ticket, and I got a fine for $500. But then the fine was dismissed. I thought that, that was God's favor upon me and stuff like that. But then I began to realize that, what the hell does that have to do with it? Why am I so important that the dismissal of a $500 fine is my idea that God is looking down upon me? Especially when I knew so many people with, you know, even in my own neighborhood going through their own shit, you know what I'm saying? I know friends who got killed. I know, on the news, I see all kinds of atrocities and problems and everything. So even in my mid-20s, I'm beginning to realize, like, why would I consider what may have been a lucky break as something that indicates that God has any favor upon me? And I remember being quite taken aback by that, especially by the idea that, well, maybe there isn't somebody looking down upon me. And I remember, like, when I would date, and I would, people, I'm not religious, one of the first things they would ask is, well, you believe in God, don't you? And at the time, I guess I was completely full of shit because I would say, well, yeah, I just don't know what he is or understand what we describe him as or something like that. I guess I was some type of pseudo-agnostic. But at the same time, it's like I'm sitting here saying this stuff and saying stuff like, I believe there's a God. I just believe that we can't understand him or it or define him or it. And, you know, now I know that's bullshit. But you know, but it's amazing how you can have all kinds of premarital sex, but the one thing that will stop that is if you say you don't believe in God, which I never got that. And so, so I guess in some ways I began becoming an atheist a lot earlier than I admitted, you know, because I didn't admit that I was an atheist until I was to the age of Facebook. And so, you know, I moved on into my early 30s, and I've begun saying I'm just not religious. At the time, I'm not knowing what an atheist is anyway. So in my late 20s or 30s, I'm saying I'm just not religious. I kind of don't believe in God. I kind of don't believe in Jesus, stuff like that. And, you know, I remember my ex's brother getting shot 5 times and living. And they're like, man, it was God's way of telling you something. And I'm sitting there thinking, really? Could he have written it down or something? I mean, because I don't know if being shot 5 times is a proper way to send a message. Good grief, man. I mean, yeah, just a dream or something? Shit. And so, it looked like, I mean, he's on drugs. And, you know, the reason he got shot was because some guys down here, they didn't like that he was selling more drugs than they were. And so, they attempted to shoot him. Fortunately for him, they can't shoot. So, he didn't die. As a matter of fact, he was out of the hospital within a week or two, you know, because they missed everything that was vital and everything. So, I guess, I don't know if that's at the time, I didn't think that said much about God, so much as it said a great deal about this guy's aim. But, you know, at the time, what do I know? I can't say this shit. So, after eventually me and my ex split up and everything, and this is like probably about 2009 that I'm finally Facebook, and I found a friend of mine who we dated for a little bit, but she became like one of my closest friends and stuff. Told me just to admit that you're an atheist, and at the time I had considered just saying, yeah, I'm an atheist. I had been used to being kind of an outcast, so I don't even understand why I bothered not to say anything. So finally, I just said, you know, yeah, I'm an atheist. You know, I said it on Facebook and whatnot. And at the time, I hadn't found any sizable group of people, you know, like myself. And for the longest time, I thought it was some type of freaky anomaly because I didn't believe God. I didn't feel any reason to identify with this being. I didn't feel like this being could identify with me. I mean, I have to eat to live, I have to go to work to pay bills, I have to go to work to have a place to stay, I have to go to work to eat, I have to go to work to have any sort of life, and then on top of that, I have to pay taxes on whatever I earn. This God cannot know anything about me. He cannot know what it's like to go hungry. It can't know thing about what it's like to look at your check and know full damn well there's no point in you cashing this shit because it's already gone. So why would I ever believe that God could know anything about me? And so that was my thinking at the time, and I'm finding this, I guess, having an idea of what I am or what I believe or what I don't believe gave me some type of, I guess, power, maybe a little bit of arrogance or something like that, because I would find myself getting into quite a many debates and discussions and whatnot. And the more I did that, the more I became emboldened by it. You know, the fact that, you know, I've read this stuff, and I've actually have questions about it. I mean, I've taken the Bible, and I've taken a notebook, and I've written down stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck, huh? Why did they do this? And stuff like that. I'm reading this book, and I'm questioning why. For the first time, I'm questioning why is this? Why is this necessary? Why did this happen? You know what I'm saying? And it challenged the entire idea I had about the goodness of God or whatever. So when I'm debating with these people and they're completely ignoring these scriptures or they have interpretations for these scriptures, it just solidified it for me, because it's like, why wouldn't you think that saying, go into this town, kill the men and women, the infant and babies, donkeys and cattle, livestock, kill everything in there. I don't want shit alive in that bitch. Why would you think that that is a good being to worship? Why would you think that a being that can arbitrarily decide that a lot of the creations it created were no longer necessary for life? I mean, if it can decide your fate on a whim like that, or if it can decide that your life is no longer valuable, therefore you should be eliminated by other people I created, how good is this being? How good can this being ever be? And I challenged that idea. I challenged it. I couldn't help myself. I mean, I would get into a debate, and I would feel
get
like,
over here.
Bring that ass, okay? Bring that ass. And I would be feeling so, I mean, it would feel so good to deliver a, you know, I guess a blow to someone's logic or whatever you call it. And then I found my, first group, you know, through my friend that I found someone who later would become the president of another atheist organization. And I met these people. I met Mandisa Thomas and Benjamin Burchell. I met Mandisa first, and I think I met Benjamin Burchell soon thereafter. And they had an idea for, you know, a black atheist organization or a black atheist group on Facebook called Black Nonbelievers. And I got involved in that, and it really felt good to, I guess for the first time, I had a group to belong to. And it started off really small. It was a really, really small niche and everything like that. But over the years, it did grow, it did blossom and everything. And controversies, I guess, helped boost that whole situation and everything. And it went through its trials and its issues and its problems and whatnot. And as far as I know, it's still going pretty good today, even though I'm not involved with it anymore. No bad blood or anything like that. It just, you know, I had other things to do and whatnot. So there's no ill will on that part. But at the same time, it felt good to have for the first time that kind of social network, I guess. Because, you know, I mean, we would meet up, hang out on barbecues and movies and shit like that. I mean, it was cool. You know, it was real cool. It really felt really good. And I guess after I, because I finally, you know, I've been changing jobs and whatnot. So I guess finally, when all that was said and done, I'm not in that social network. I'm more on Facebook, and I'm dealing with so many various atheists, you know, and becoming more and more entrenched. And I'm seeing so many various people, so many various attitudes, and so many various takes on what is atheism, what it's like to be an atheist. I even learned of a term called black atheism, which I completely disagree with because, for me, I didn't see how not believing in some shit would have a color identity. I guess the journey towards atheism is different. I guess the reason why common atheist is different, but the term black atheist is always been like a stick in my craw. And so I guess the rose colored glasses really fell off, and I began to see that a lot of us either still had the residue of religion, or religion really doesn't change what a person would be or where a person is all that much. Because I ran into misogynists and sexists and racists. You know, I ran into all kinds of people in this whole community. And granted, I do believe that religion would give an asshole an even greater platform to be an asshole, and there are people who will follow this asshole through and through because he is using something that they believe in and has latched onto their mind so hard that his being an asshole is a privilege and he's entitled to it. Whereas with an atheist, an asshole is purely an asshole, miserable prick. And you meet these people in the community, and, you know, you can't, you know, I learned to use that to my advantage because rather than feeling like that this is,
holy shit!
I felt like, no, this atheism, being an atheist is bullshit. There are people who are full of shit in the community. That doesn't mean that everybody's full of shit. It just means that everybody has the idea that we're somehow completely better because we are atheists really just fell from my mind. And we don't have the influence, the powers of religion. I mean, religion has several hundred, thousands of years worth of history behind it. But at the same time, sometimes I think that some people miss the idea. Some people, I guess, they feel so released from religion that they feel like there's a certain sense of entitlement. Like, I don't use the term religion towards myself because I've learned and I've come to believe that just because you're religious doesn't mean you're an idiot. You know, I come to believe that I don't believe in the eradication of religion because I believe that everybody should have a choice to believe what they want to believe. And any atheist to me who thinks that religion should be eradicated is only trading one problem for another, one system of control for another. So my thing has always been, to each his own, do as you want. But, there are ways to do this. There's a way to be courteous and respect other people and everything like that. But I guess there's a bit of hypocrisy with that because I also feel like religion does have a harm. It can have a harm. I believe it has good, but also has a great deal of harm, especially when you get people who believe that I'm not going to take my son or daughter to the doctor because God's going to heal them, you know, and the kid dies or whatever. And the idea, and I'm finna ramble a little bit, so I'm just going to let you know that the idea that God heals people, I mean, there are people who will put on Facebook a picture of some type of malformed child, a very sickly child, connected to tubes and machines and everything, saying, if you believe God will heal this child, type amen. And it will have 1,000 amens on that post. Really? And I'm thinking thoughts about this. One, if your God gave a damn about this child, the child wouldn't be in this position. If God could heal this child, why has he not before you posted this picture? And if he wanted to heal this child, why is this child connected to machines? If God can heal anybody he chooses to at whim, why is there even a healthcare system? So, you know, you got people who have made advances in science to the point where they're discovering how to grow body parts and, stem cell research and how to, that people are developing cybernetics and other type of electronics that will help people see and hear again. If God is in the business of healing, then these people are unnecessary. You know what I'm saying? If God will heal you, if you truly believe God will heal you, why do you have health care insurance? Why do you go to the hospital? I mean, I understand it's a dangerous idea because if you believe that God will heal you, you won't go to the hospital, which could be a dangerous thing. But at the same time, it's like, why do you have health insurance? You know what I'm saying? Either God will heal you because he wants to, or he won't because either you haven't kissed his ass enough or I guess in some cases you haven't generated enough likes on whatever problem you have on Facebook. Hilarious concept to me, but I guess you know the ridiculousness of a lot of those notions is what keeps me firmly rooted in being an atheist. I mean, I can divorce myself from several things about religion. Like, a lot of times I don't agree with the idea that American atheists should go born just kind of picks at religion. I don't think that really helps anything. But I do believe in the promotion that their promotion of that religion is the only way to go, that you don't need God to be good, that you don't need God to be an important factor on this planet, man. I mean, there are so many other avenues to go, man. I mean, you know, so you, especially since the, you mean the idea of women not being able to enjoy sex or appreciate their bodies or appreciate being a woman or have any power or position, because religion has always been such a male-dominated aspect that there aren't very many positive women in the Bible, as far as I know. As a matter of fact, this whole shit, according to the Bible, this whole shit is fucked up because of them. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, those ideas alone is what kept me away from it. And so what kept me promoting the idea of not only being an atheist, but freedom not only of religion, but from religion. I don't even drink. The reason I can't buy a beer on Sunday shouldn't be because you're a Christian and you and a bunch of your cronies thought that, you know, no one should buy alcohol on Sunday. I believe that's incredibly arrogant to try to make the world and society to your beliefs, you know. So, you know, I find myself now in the present day, I'm much more, I guess, grounded. I guess I'm much more, I guess I've settled into my role. I mean, I guess in my role as an atheist, or and what atheism means to me, you know, or what being an atheist is to me. I guess I have a confidence now that it took years to gain, or I have ideas that keeps me from being so so adamant about my ideas that I fail to consider or even accept anyone else's ideas. And I understand I could be wrong about a lot of things. I don't believe I'm wrong about religion, though. I mean, think about this, man. You know, when somebody says, I mean, someone said on Facebook that I don't cherry-pick the Bible. I follow everything to a T. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right. Okay, the fact that you're in one denomination of at least, what, 40,000, 45,000, tells me somebody cherry-picked the shit out. So, yeah, I guess, you know, in a lot of ways, I guess I have found myself to be, you know, I have gotten irritated with a lot of things I've seen in religion, you know, and I mean, in atheism, you know, I'm in large atheist groups, and you're still seeing people with, you know, with these attitudes of, well, maybe I'm maybe I'm not religious, but I am kind of racist, and I feel entitled to be a racist because the people I'm talking about kind of screwed us over. And I guess, yeah, I guess you're entitled to your own opinion, but I'm also seeing, you know, like I said, mentioned earlier, the misogyny and whatnot. So I guess you have to learn to deal with and accept the fact that people are going to be people no matter what, and you can't let that affect your decision to stay as an atheist or leave it. And, you know, I guess you got to do what you do for you, what's best for you. So I think I said pretty much most of what I wanted to say, but I did kind of write a little poem a while back, and you're going to have to excuse me on this. I'm really not good at reading my own stuff. I have big lips. I stumble over them, and, you know, I'm not really good at, you know, reading my stuff and everything like that, but hopefully you'll like this, and this will be something to carry the show out with, because I want to keep rambling on, chewing your ear off. All right. So the title is Immobile. And let me know if you like it. If you don't, I attempted to carry the burden of belief on my shoulders, got confused in the process. I held my own doubts aloft, attempting to understand, but seeing nothing but mess. The gambit of emotions, the stress, the anger, the disappointment, the shame, the feeling of pressure to suppress human nature, the sadness, the loneliness, the blame. The tales from others of filling the eternal void with Jesus, but I feel the loss of self, told to give all of my being to him until there was nothing left. Lost in the swirl of doubts and questions, in the shadow and the miasma of fear, the real realm of confusion stuck in the well, wondering how humans ever got here. I peered past the bars of the prison of religion's making, seeing freedom beyond my grasp, but even though the door is unlocked, it's a chance I'm not taking. I'm shaking in fear as I stay back, not wanting to be the only one with questions in a cell built by religion's hands, nervously watching the clock, the timer, and the drain of the hourglass sands. The door is unlocked. I have but to step forward, go out and claim my life, embrace a mind free of this guilt, false hopes, fables, commandments, scriptures, and divine decreed strife. Know the rewards never come without part of me, know with feet stuck to floor, sitting in this room, thinking of the day of being free. The rest of my knees cracks from the effort of movement after witnessing nothing of Jehovah in all my years. Squeals and groans for a mind just moving after stagnating. Finally, I engage my mental gears. Free thought and purpose ignites the internal combustion engine built inside. Inspiration is my fuel. Jolted by a battery of disdain for religion's restrictions, the shame of immobility and on rejection will be cruel. Led by the fascination of thinking without guilt held in place by reliance on a man who never existed, or feel like it matters either way, as most human suffering was caused because God insisted. Activated, I burst through my prison door. I move with purpose for the first time without hesitation. You see, now I know, have the power to walk my life with confidence. I even know my destination. So, I guess that's going to bring me to an end on this wonderful day and whatnot, so I can get to the gym and continue to build my body. And hopefully next episode, maybe Em will be back. And if not, maybe I'll have something else for you. You know, maybe I'll ramble off some of my terrible movie ideas and stuff like that that I really like to, you know, I love terrible movies, man. Bad 80s and 90s movies. Come on, man. I mean, I got to tell you about some of these kung fu movies I love, too. So anyway, one way or another, you'll be hearing my voice again with or without M, and we'll go from there, you know what I'm saying? And hopefully you like this one-off episode, and, you know, if you don't, just let me know that, too, you know, and maybe that'll help me do better next time. Who knows? Either way it go, I guess I'm out.
For your life, the Tingler is loose in this theater.
Bullshit!